Hello everyone, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to us, his people. And I know I say that a lot, but I mean it. For every problem that comes your way, the Lord has a living solution. The Word of God is life. Sometimes people treat the Word of God like rules and regulations. People make religions out of what they do, their works. God never wanted salvation to be by our works. It's by faith in Him. Remember what got us off track in the first place. And look at what God said in the first place. God made the earth beautiful. There was no sin. It was much more beautiful than it is now. God was credible. Adam understood the love of God. In the first five commandments in the Word of God, God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And one day I said, Lord, you never told Adam to love. He said, son, all he understood was love. If you have the love of God in you, you've got the life of God in you. If you've got the life of God in you, this is what the Lord will have you do. Jesus said it again in his instructions in Mark chapter 16. He said, go ye into all the earth and preach the gospel. It does the same thing. It let other people in on the love of God. You receive the love of God. Share it. Love other people. First Peter says, love others just like God loves you. And people in this world that love the world, they're not going to walk in love that way. The people of this world, the love of God is different to them. They respond so varied. But one thing about it, when people are exposed to the truth and the love of God, over time they will respond just like they would to God. Because the love of God and the life of God is an extension of his heart. And when you present the love of God to people, you're presenting God to people. Even if you don't mention the Word of God, when your everyday kindness, your true sincere love represents the essence of who God is. But people that are wicked, they'll try to see how they can capitalize on it, how they can use you for their gain. People, when you continually love a person and they are bitter against you, that's because there's enmity between God's seed and Satan's seed. It doesn't get any simpler than that. But when we receive God's love, we become an extension of who he is. So every time we operate according to the kind love of God, we help people see him. And what they do with it is up to them. But our continual love helps people see, and it also helps people receive more word. Sometimes we want to just give people the word. Like I'm preaching right now. I'm explaining things. And it's very important to show people that the kingdom of God is here. And we have to explain what Jesus did. But if you love God already, it takes the move of the Holy Spirit to win souls. The Holy Spirit will help you win souls. When you've received the living Word of God in you, and you get saved, you share the life of God, it's almost the first response. You want to help everybody see the same thing. And that takes time. Because people are in a world that's lying to them all the time. That's why it's so difficult for people to just believe you and get saved, like we all wish they would. Jesus made us kings and priests. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. And the Lord wants us to know him. He wants us to see him in. He wants us to share his word with people. And he wants us to believe him. He cares about us in every way of life. And he will help us throughout our life. He cares not. He cares about you, and he loves you for you, not what you can do for him. And we can do great things for him, especially when we trust him. So when people are in their ways, don't expect too much out of people. We've been supplied with the love of God to supply others with the love of God. And when that flow is happening, God is blessing us for our efforts. And he's going to reward us for being there for other people, for being a blessing to people. And he has the best financial plan ever. But that's not why I do this. I minister to people because I sincerely want them saved. God's going to reward me, of course. And I understand that. I know this. One day that'll be important to me, I'm sure. Because when you go to heaven, you're no different than you are now. You're going to have the same. You're going to desire things. But it's God's good pleasure to bless us. And I know he's good. But right now, my main focus is on him so that he can use me to be a blessing to you and everybody else. I don't want to live this life enjoying the treasures and blessings of God and nobody else and others are not receiving them. I want everybody to get in on what God is doing. And I know, and I preach a hard gospel. I tell the truth. Because people need it. Now, the enemy set people up. He leveraged people in every way he possibly can with deception. If you love the world system, if you're greedy, and if you're lustful, he will present you with those lies. If you love power, he will present you with those lies. If you love God, and you want to know him, and you're just getting started, or you're interested in the things of God, he has religious lies for you. I mean, you go to church to learn, and sometimes even the best ministers are compromised somewhere. Compromised doctrine always put people in a stalemate where they're not growing. The Lord can only sanction the truth. He can't sanction lies. He can't do. He never follows a lie with signs and wonders. Don't count on that. It's not going to happen. If you're doing when you do the real word of God, it's working, and it's working just like an apple tree. It bears fruit in its season, and a cornfield. You plant the corn, and it don't just pop up in one day. Time happens. Seasons happen. Before you know it, you got a stalk, then you got the corn, then the full corn in the ear. With the apple tree, it bears apple in the springtime. If you like persimmons, they bear in the fall. All right? What God give us, we plant seeds by loving people and sharing the word of God. And over time, our love opens the door for them to receive the word of God. It's a representation. And and people start given their thoughts of God starts growing because people are there in a loving environment. It's been proven. Children that come from a loving home, they're more apt to do what's right and finish college and do things that they saw their parents do. Unless they're interrupted. We live in neighborhoods and sometimes your children spend more time with children that are teaching them wrong. And the enemy's trying to get everybody off track as fast as he can. He leverages people. He persuades people. He gets people over into compromise. And instead of growing and learning who God is, they learn what Satan wants them to know about God. False interpretation of his word. False religions. False systems that harden your heart. All sin hardens the heart. Compromised doctrine hardens the heart too. Once you're deceived, even scriptural deception. Now, the scriptures cannot deceive you. But when people interpret it wrong, false interpretations, if you receive a false interpretation, it's going to interrupt the fabric of your life. It's going to be a discord somewhere. It's going to be a problem because as you try to operate in false doctrine, it just doesn't work. You know, the Jews, the corrupt Jews tried this. Paul and Peter and all the apostles and Barnabas, all the apostles, the Jewish apostles and the ones that were sent to the Gentiles. There were many apostles, not just 12. Timothy, the Lord sent them to do a work throughout all Asia Minor. And people were getting saved. They were responding to the love of God, the word of God. And there was no Bible back then. Just a few books of the Bible. And most of the time, either rich people had them or wealthy Jews had them. But they had the word of God spoken by the Holy Spirit from Paul. And they had the letters. See, that's how the Bible was written. It was the Lord was supplying people with his knowledge through holy men that would follow him. So when all this was going on, people were enjoying God's presence. They were receiving the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were also baptized in Jesus' name. And they were enjoying God. So the enemy had to stop this. So he got him. He said, if you love God, you got to be circumcised or you got to do things on the Sabbath day to be righteous. The Old Testament ceremonial laws were supposed to help people understand that there was a Savior coming and your righteousness was never by works. And the enemy tried to get people back into the works of the law, the works of the flesh. The works. What do you do? Where do you go? What do you see? What days do you worship on? All this foolishness. When you have the real Jesus, you fulfilled all that. And they cause people to miss the point, and then people trying to work for their salvation. There's a difference in working out your salvation and working for your salvation. If you're working for your salvation, then you turn your back on what Jesus did. If you turn your back on what Jesus did, it's not by faith. You're not believing that you're saved by him, by his righteous blood. Now you're back in the world. So you have to love the word of God and receive it in your heart. Because if your salvation is not based on what Jesus did, then you're not saved. And Paul explains this in Colossians. He explains it well. Leave the rules and rudiments of men alone. Don't touch them, don't taste them, don't handle them. A man can't judge you on what day you go to church on or what you eat for dinner. You have to be wise. Yeah, we have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Remember, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. When we're wise, we're studying the word of God. And we're trusting him and what he's doing. If you're trusting what you're doing, it's understood you don't have to work for salvation. We've been given salvation freely. Everybody has. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for you and his blood washed your sins away and he rose again to justify you. Then at that point, we're complete in him. And something, when people have good understanding of what God has done for us, you'll find out that you're wealthy with time. You're going to be forever. You're going to live forever. Death won't interrupt you. Death to you is just a passing. That's why people say so-and-so passed. That means they just transition into everlasting life. But when a person died, they went straight to hell. Their body died. A person that passed, their body died. That's true. But it'll be resurrection. It will be resurrected again. But the dead man, he'll never enjoy time again. And people that's in the hospital, barely hanging on life support, And if they didn't get saved, they're not going to a better place. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is because people think that just because people have sympathy for people that's dying, that they're going to be. It's not true. If we don't get people saved, they will not. They're going to be. They will not go to heaven. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you can't go to hell. You're not going, unless the Lord take you there to show it to you. And when I went, the Lord took me there to, as an observer, and I didn't. I was not afraid. I saw it. I was like an observer. And then I woke up. I was really there. I know I was. I felt the heat of it. I saw the sorrow of it. It's real. I'm not a soothsayer, folks. I'm not one of those preachers that try to soothe people to just to make them feel good so they won't be mad at me. If a person mad at me, they're going to be mad at me anyway. I don't take it personally, even if they are. Because why let a man go to hell and you don't warn them? Because you're afraid that they're going to be mad at you. They're going to be, everybody that went to hell that I didn't witness to that knew me, they mad at me now. If I didn't have the courage to share them and make it real, they mad at me right now because I didn't do my job. But I did tell my friend, I told all everybody I knew as much as I could that Jesus is Lord. Now, I know I didn't make it real for everybody. But they wonder, why didn't he make it real to me? Well, that's what I'm doing now. Because your life is very precious to God. It's not just, God doesn't just love you. He really loves you enough to die for you. And he already paid for you to be with him. But the enemy's trying to talk people out of salvation. And people say, well, once saved, always saved. That's true if you stay in Christ. If you don't go back to the world and get tangled up with dead doctrines. If you don't go back to the world like Demas did. Demas was an apostle. He walked with Paul. He was blessed. And then he went back to the pleasures of the world. One book Paul was talking about, Demas greets you. Then a few more books later, he said in Demas, I think it was 2 Timothy, Paul said, well, Demas went back to the world. Only one person remained with him. So others went back to the world too. And I'm not in it for money, fame, fortune. It's too important. I don't care about fame and fortune. That's not why I preach. I know that God's going to reward me for all the preaching I do, but that's not the reason I do it. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want nobody in the sound of my voice to be lost. I don't want anybody that I see every day to be lost. Because lost is eternal. Understand, if you're lost, you're missing out on what God has richly paid for with his own blood. Now, there's nothing in this universe more valuable than the blood of Jesus. And he shed it for us. Gold, silver, it's not. That's just byproducts. I know heaven, the streets are paved with gold. That amazes men. But the love of God shed abroad on us, that's priceless. And see, when people get saved, they're different. Even if they're evil and mean and wicked. Some people, you wish you had them in your gun sights. But if they get saved, they're different people. The world is full of illusion. I want people to know God, even my worst enemies, even people that would shoot at me. I want them to know God. And I risk my life to share the word of God. In this world, people hate you for it. I don't care. I'm going to preach till I can't preach. I'm not afraid of living, and I'm definitely not afraid of dying. But while I got the breath of God in me, I'm going to speak his word. Now, we need him. Everybody is important to the Lord. And the enemy sets challenges before everybody. I did a website broadcast about how he leveraged ministers. You know, the mainstream ministers organized Christianity. They got institutions and schools, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And, you know, for what it does, it's beautiful. But the pastor goes to seminary school. They're taught a narrative with the Word of God, but a narrative. And they have to stay in a confine of that narrative. Or the organization may not recognize them anymore if they don't live in this narrative. And the enemy, you have to stick with the Word of God as it is. I know, I remember hearing, you know, I didn't read it for myself, so I got to say it that way. But I heard that if a Baptist pastor gets divorced and remarries, then he's out. The organization won't recognize him. Now, whether that's true or not, you have to ask the Baptist organization. And I love Baptist people. I listen to Baptist ministers. I've been blessed by them, and I'm going to always be blessed by them. They're my brothers, just like Catholics, just like Methodists, just like Holiness, all of them. Just using this for an example. So here's this wonderful man of God. His wife wants to, and that, this really happened to a guy. The enemy came. A seducing spirit spoke to his wife and said, "You're beautiful. You should be a movie star. You ought to leave your husband and go to Hollywood and be a movie star." So she left her husband and did other stuff. And she divorced him. Now, he's trying to preach the word. He's living for God. And she started harassing him, calling him and aggravating him. And he told Kenneth Hagin about it. And Kenneth Hagin told him what to do. He told that spirit to stop, and she stopped bothering him. But she left God and went to the world. Paul said, if an unbeliever leaves you, let him go. He's not bound to that, because they left because of Christ. But the organization will say, well, you can't get married again. But he can get married again. He didn't make the woman leave him. This not this man. He didn't do anything wrong. He just married the wrong woman. She was acting like a serpent. She left him for the world. If that happens, go on with your life. But see, when people get into narratives, and aside from the word, you get people in trouble. And if you got to stick to a narrative, well, we don't believe in healing. We don't believe that the Holy Spirit is still falling on men speaking in tongues. Some of them go as far as to say that's of the devil. Now, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, your name will be blotted out. And I can tell you many stories about that. Another Baptist preacher was mocking a man because he spoke in tongues. But he was ignorant. And the Lord corrected him because, see, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you sin. And the Holy Spirit convicted him. He said, "You don't know what you're talking about." And the man ended up repenting and receiving the Holy Spirit himself. So what happened to the organization? They probably ousted him because he didn't stick to the narrative, to their narrative. But he did stick to the word. That's what I'm talking about. The enemy will try to set you up to leverage you into compromise. Another problem, they give you a church. You didn't have to use your faith muscles to go out there and do the groundwork and build the ministry. So when you finish seminary, you're stuck right into a church. You haven't been tested by God. You haven't been tried. People don't follow God anymore. They're not trained to follow God. Some people are, not all people. But the best pastors I know, they follow the Lord, the leading of God, the guidance of God. They do things in God's time. But when you finish seminary, then you move into a house and you got a church and you start preaching. That doesn't mean you know God. That means you got saved and went, you learned some facts about God. And then the things you learned wrong, you can't tell because you hadn't proved it. But when we start seeking the Lord's face and allow and have a relationship with Him, then you know not to let people leverage you and box you in to a doctrine that can't grow. This is why some churches are not lively as they could be. Now, dead churches is like Ichabod. They have nothing to do with God anymore. They stop believing. They start their practices doing works. Now, that's dead. But a church that's not as lively, they stick to guidelines where they can't grow. And some of them know better. And they just compromised. They want to know the things of God. They want to know what God is doing. And they're afraid to say, well, God told me this and God told me that. I do it all the time, wherever I go, because I'm not ashamed of Him. I couldn't learn it without Him. I'm giving Him honor. I was thankful for the knowledge that works in life. Everything He tell me works. Things that I've learned the wrong way, it don't work. And there's some of the things God tell me, it don't look like it's working, but I know it's working because I'm following the peace. And over time, the corn grows up. The tree produces apples. See, I can do what God say do. I don't get much feedback from the radio broadcast because people don't write letters and say, hey, you blessed me. You don't get as, most of the people that's blessed, they just thank God and they continue to listen. Some people have been listening for years. And I can tell by the messages God give. When my father passed back in 2010, my sister was at the hospital because her husband had a wreck. And she met a wonderful lady named Aura. And her name is Aura. But she goes by her middle name, which is Gail. But her first name is Aura. And she met another lady named Aura. And she said, yesterday we buried my father. And she said, there's a man on the radio, said his father, he lost his father. She said, what's his name? She said, Thurston Happy. And they had a conversation. And my sister called people and said, hey, I met a lady named Aura that listened to my brother. She said that she and her friends get together every Saturday, because I was coming on, the broadcast was every Saturday morning. Also on Sunday, but I was coming on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And they would get together and meet and listen to the broadcast every Saturday. Now, people are listening. If they get together and listen, they're really listening. But you don't get feedback. But I do get messages. If I'm getting messages from the Lord, people are listening because God is talking to people. And then the adjustments. God tell me what to do. And He adjusts what I'm doing. He told me instructions. It's working. I don't have to see everything. If God is working with it and giving me messages, the whole thing is working. When I go to heaven, I see it work. But you don't have to see everything to know your life is working. He blesses me. He backs me up. He takes care of me. He opens doors and closes doors. My whole life is working. Because when you stand on the word of God, you're standing on a solid foundation. You're not standing on sand. You're standing on a rock. And I want people to know how good God is. God is good, folks. The reason for all this ministry and all the activity of God is so that you can know Him and have not just get saved and have a life insurance policy. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're going to hell. It's good. I love it. Wouldn't take nothing for it. But my relationship with the Lord is priceless. It's as priceless as the blood of Jesus to me. Because when I can talk to the Lord and he can answer me, he's shown me beautiful things. I asked him, Lord, you have life on other planets. He taught me, he showed me some things about other planets. You need to know him. Don't miss out like people that's being leveraged by the enemy. Don't stick to narratives that don't work. But love the Lord your God and King. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And we'll leave on that note because I happen to be out of time. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Your prayers avail much, and he'll talk to you for the rest of the day. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.